We have heard in the news that the federal government will today unveil a $1 billion package to stimulate innovation. The Turnbull government expected to announce 20 measures in areas including taxation, education, research, to kickstart what it's calling an innovation culture. A key issue will be encouraging young Australians to get into science and technology professions. And quite coincidentally, this week, Monash University is hosting an international student science fair to do just that. The event brings together some of the world's best science students, researchers and industry representatives. Dr. Alan Finkel is the Chancellor of Monash University, and he'll take up the role as Australia's next chief scientist in January. Dr. Finkel, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here.
So this International Science Fair, bringing together 200 bright students, delegates from 15 countries, what do you hope to achieve?
Look, it's an extraordinary opportunity in so many respects. In the first instance, the students will have a chance to form friendships and networks that will actually, I believe, constitute their global network for life. As you're already well aware, international collaborations are the underpinning of much of what takes place in successful science, business and innovation. So these kids are privileged. They're going to meet the best of the best from all around the world, and I would hope that they form friendships for life. In other respects, it's a wonderful opportunity for these students to consolidate on what they've been doing. They've been working all year on projects, which I believe will be showcased at the Synchrotron tomorrow. So the Synchrotron, which is right near here at Monash University, will be opening its doors to the public, and the public can walk around, I guess, see a little bit of the Synchrotron, but very importantly, see the work that these young people have been doing. They're 15 to 16-year-olds, year 10s from around the world. The International Science Fair has been going around from country to country. It was in Moscow last year. We're very fortunate that we've got it here this year through the initiative of Peter Corkill, the principal, at the John Monash Science School.
What kind of projects will be on display?
Well, I'll have to go there tomorrow to see. They've been working on them. I don't have any doubts. They'll be extremely creative.
Yes, well, I work with my boys on their science projects, but I never got a call. So, next year maybe. There's always
hope. But one of the important things is you don't get the call unless you put up your hand.
Ah.
So one of the things that I hope the kids will learn here is the importance of just being in there and giving things a try, and to the extent that it's possible, I hope that this science fair helps to crystallise for them what I would regard as the three things that they will need to be successful. Have you got a minute and I'll go through all three?
Please.
Well, the very first one is knowledge. Sometimes people think that you don't need to know as much anymore because you've got instant access to all information. But if you're going to really think your way through any kind of problem or any creative process,
number two,
deep knowledge. Number two is understanding of the process of analysing a problem and coming up with a solution. And number three is just to have confidence that if you give it a go, there's a good chance you'll succeed. And if you don't, you can try again.
Isn't it funny that number three can be the hardest one?
It can be, but it's actually well aligned with the agenda that the Prime Minister is driving at the moment. You know, accept change, give it a try. If you're a company, fail fast, fail often.
He says volatility is our friend. This is a great time for you to be considering about entering your role as chief scientist from January next year. Will you have a relaxed Christmas break, or will it be nervous anticipation?
No, actually, I'm going to have a very relaxed Christmas break. My wife and I are doing 1 week of skiing with family, then we're going to do 3 weeks doing what an incoming chief scientist should do. We're going to the countries of the Arctic Circle, and we're looking for the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis.
And what do you want to see from the innovation statement that'll help achieve those 3 points you were mentioning before?
I clearly want to see that the government will be investing in encouraging collaboration between university and publicly funded research institute researchers and industry, that there'll be some kind of a commitment to the equipment and other technologies that we need to underpin our science. But it's too soon for me to say. I don't know what will be in it, but the clarity that the government is using to articulate its vision, I'm sure will be reflected in the statement today.
What we do know and have known for a while is Australia is a world leader at research, but does very, very poorly at commercialising research. Why is that?
Well, there are a number of reasons. What you said is absolutely correct. Our research output is terrific. One of the several reasons is that we don't have sufficient engagement between our researchers, publicly funded researchers, and industry. one of the things that, as the President of the Australian Academy of Technology and Engineering, I and my colleagues have been promoting is a way of recognising, measuring and valuing engagement as a legitimate activity of researchers alongside the very important activity of doing and publishing research. A second issue, of course, is funding. The so-called Valley of Death needs money to help people bridge and get their way across it.
Why do they call it the Valley of Death?
Because so often companies start off with extreme enthusiasm, developing some new technology, driven mostly on a mortgaged house and the enthusiasm of the founders, and they know that they can get to a successful commercial product, but the big challenge is getting funding for that early feasibility and commercialization research, and it's really hard to get that funding, and therefore it's called the Valley of Death, because you can see where you want to be, you're standing on this side, and you've got to bridge across, and you need money to do that.
Have you yourself or colleagues of yours been standing on that precipice?
Yeah, and taking a dive.
What's it like to have a dream that you know, a product and a technology that you know is good, that you know will have a comparative advantage, but for the reasons you mentioned, doesn't get to market? It must feel a special kind of pain.
Well, absolutely, but it's not worth dwelling on the pain. It's worth dwelling on how one can actually get the support to cross the bridge. And in some countries, it's easier than others. In Australia, it's been a mixed bag. But I think there's already evidence that during the course of this year, quite a large amount of money has gone into the formation of new venture capital funds that will support young companies in this feasibility study, early commercialization research stage. And I'm hoping that the future announcements and activities from the government will encourage more of that.
Well, Alan Finkel, thanks very much, and congratulations on your science fair with the kids today and chief scientist next year.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Alan Finkel, Chancellor of Monash University, which is hosting this International Student Science Fair for the next 5 days. Something to look at.